Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu chapter 30. In the last parak, Yirmiyahu challenged the message of the false Nevi'im who said that the Galus would be over soon. Yirmiyahu tells the people to prepare to live in Babel for 70 years before they return to Israel. Those in Israel will be destroyed. Yirmiyahu then shares the story of three false Nevi'im in Babel who will be punished. This parak is different. The next four prakim have elements of positivity and comfort. In general, one cannot learn Torah on Tisha B'Av as it is a day of mourning, and Torah learning makes a person happy. However, one can learn all of Sefer Yirmiyahu on Tisha B'Av because it is about the destruction, except for the prakim Lamed through Lamed Gimel, chapters 30 through 33, because they have messages of hope and rebuilding. Hashem spoke to Yirmiyahu and tells him to write down the words of a nevuah in a sefer. Nevuah comes from the word niv, which means a phrase or a speech. The Nevi'im part of Nach were both spoken and written. Ksuvim were just written. The Nevuah in this parak is different than the contents of the rest of the Sefer, as it was only meant to be written for future generations to give them hope. It was not to be told to the current generation, who would use it as a pretext to continue to sin. Verse 3. This parak is talking about Yamim Ba'im, days to come. Most Mepharshim say this parak is talking about the ultimate redemption. At that time, Hashem will bring back Shvus Ami Yisrael v'Yehuda, the captives of my people, both Yisrael who was exiled 100 years ago and Yehuda who will be exiled by Nebuchadnezzar to the land of Babel. Hashem is calling the Jewish people once again his nation, not the nation, as the time of the Geula is a time of love. Verse 5. The time of redemption only comes after Kol charada shamanu pachad ve'in shalom, a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Rashi and Mitzudas David identify this as the time of the war of Gog u'Magog, when there is going to be a lot of upheaval and violence. The fear and uncertainty will cause the people to do tshuva, which will lead them to merit the redemption. The pain of this time, which is called the Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach, are described vividly by Yirmiyahu. He asks, Shal luna ur'u, ask and see, im yoled zachar, do men give birth? Of course not. If that's the case, madu ra'isi chol gever yadav al chalatzav keyoleda. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins looking like a woman in labor? The most painful experience, say the Mepharshim, is labor. When women are in labor, they look forward to a birth to make that pain worthwhile. When men have this kind of intense pain, they know there is no positive outcome to look forward to, and so they are panicked. This time of transition from Galus to Geula will not be easy and will have no precedent in history. The Jewish people will experience verse 7, Es tzara hi li Yaakov umimena yivashea. It is a time of trouble for Yaakov, but out of it shall he be saved. The war of Gog u'Magog will put the Jewish people in danger, but through that time will come the salvation. The Ma'am Lois comments that the trouble itself will turn into the salvation through prayer and pouring out one's soul to Hashem. This is a pattern we have seen before. In Egypt, the slavery was most intense before the Makos, the plague, started. The intensity of the slavery prompted the nation to cry out to Hashem in Egypt, which led to Hashem sending Moshe to save them. In Babel, we had Haman, who threatened to kill all the Jews, which led to the whole nation doing tshuva and davening, which led to the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. And here, at the end of time, we will again realize we can only depend on Hashem, and we will do tshuva, which will allow the ultimate redemption to come. At that time, finally, Hashem will break the yoke of the nations from on us, and we will no longer be subject to the whims and domination of foreign powers ever again. Instead, verse 9, we will serve Hashem as well as David, who will be king. We will either serve David himself, who will arise through Tuchiyat HaMesim, or we will serve one of his descendants, the Melech HaMashiach, who will be called David. Hashem speaks tenderly to the Jewish people now. He says, verse 10, Vata al tira av Yaakov, and you, Yaakov my servant, do not be afraid. Hashem will gather the nation, and the Geula will be peaceful. There is no need to worry. Hashem speaking to the nation collectively and to each individual. This phrase can also be addressing Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu was escaping to Lavan, he laid down on Har Moriah and had a dream. He had a vision of a ladder that reached the heavens, and he saw angels ascending and descending on this ladder. The Ramban says that these angels represented the exiles. Yaakov saw the angel of Bavel go up 70 rungs and then fall. Then he saw the angels of Paros Umadai go up and then fall. Then he saw the angels of Greece rise up and fall. And then he saw the angel of Edom continuing to ascend with no end. Yaakov became frightened. Hashem answers him here. He says, "Don't be afraid, Yaakov, because I will bring back your children. Ki hinini moshi'acha merachok. I will save you from afar. Vezaracha me'eretz shivyam. And your children from their land of captivity." The Radak explains that while people can travel in wartime, little children can get lost and stuck as they are too small to navigate the trip. Hashem promises that all of our children, those who are the most young, and even our elderly, who are going to be incapacitated and can't travel, will find their way back to Israel. When we finally return to Israel, we will have a quiet life and a peaceful life with no fear, as Hashem is with us to save us. Our lives and destiny are not left to chance, as Hashem is planning every step of the way. The other nations, on the other hand, will be destroyed and judged for what they did to us. This final day is the time when Hashem will pay those nations back for their evil deeds. Hashem turns once again to the Jews in exile and empathizes with our circumstances. He says, verse 12, "Anush l'shivrech nachla makasech." Your hurt is incurable. Your wound is grievous. The illness and the wounds of Galus run deep. There is trauma as well as physical diseases that are pervasive from the upheavals we have experienced. We have wounds that cannot be fixed and illnesses that have no medicine or cure. Verse 14. Even worse, Kol ma'avayich shichechuch osach lo yidroshu. All your lovers have forgotten you. They don't see you. The Malbim says that the Jewish people seem so sick that their friends, meaning the other nations, leave them because the Jewish nation has an illness that has a 0% survival rate. They do not want to help because they don't see any future for the Jewish people. The nations realize we are so ill because Hashem is the one who is directing our enemies to wound us. Al rov avonech atzmu chatosayach, for the greatness of your sins because your sins have increased. Verse 15 asks us, Matzitzak al shivrech. Why do you cry on that which is broken and over your pains? Those are wasted tears, as the illness is not the cause of our pain. Our pain comes because we have sinned. Instead of focusing on curing our woundedness, we should cry for the sins that are causing the wounds. If we would just do tshuva, the wounds would stop. This circumstance of illness won't last forever. The illness only came because of our sins. Once we have received atonement for our sins, Hashem will turn his attention to those who harmed us. Each nation will receive a punishment, midah k'neged midah, measure for measure, based on the way they treated us. Verse 16, Kol chlayech ye'achelu, all that devour you shall be devoured. There are nations that harmed us physically, and they will be physically harmed. V'chol tzarayech kulam v'shvi yelechu, and all your adversaries, those who conquered us, every one of them shall go into captivity as they did to us. V'hayu shosayech l'mshisa, as we say in the Chadodi, and they that destroyed your possessions out of animus and hatred, they shall have their possessions destroyed. V'chol bozayech etein levaz, and anybody who took our money because they wanted to get rich, I will give you their money. As for the Jewish people, Hashem will heal our wounds and restore us to health, whether it is a physical malady or a psychological illness. Hashem will make us whole again. He will heal our spiritual diseases, which have created our physical problems. Even though we have no hope of being healed, Hashem will heal us. He will bring back our captives to Israel. And verse 19, Hinini shav shvos alei Yaakov umishkenosav arachim. Behold, I am returning the captivity, the tents of Yaakov, and his dwellings I will have pity on. The first thing Hashem returns will be the alei Yaakov, the tents of Yaakov. In Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov is described as a Yoshev Ohalim. He sits in tents. Rashi there says that he sat in the tents of Shem and the tents of Aver and learned Torah. In the merit of this Torah learning of Yaakov, his children will return to Israel. When we return to Israel in the time of the Geula, our primary focus will be on spirituality. Then we will have shuls and yeshivos, and the city itself will be focused on that which is spiritual. V'nivnasa ir altila. This city shall be built higher and stronger than before, and there will be a palace and an armon, which is the Beis HaMikdash. This strength comes from the focus on that which is connected to Hashem, rather than focusing on the trivialities and materialism as we did during the time of the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Our Siddur will be stronger and higher because of the spirituality which will be at its base. When this happens and we experience all this good, verse 19, V'yatzah mehem todah v'kol mishachakim. Gratitude shall come out from them and the voice of merriness. The nation will be living a spiritual life. The character trait that best epitomizes this spirituality is the gratitude and joy that the nation will feel every day for their existence. V'herbisim v'lo yimatu. And I will multiply them and they shall not be diminished. They will have children, and there will be no war or disease, as we've seen throughout Galus, that decreases the population numbers over and over again. We will finally have a strong community, and anyone who comes to attack us will be punished. In addition, we will have a leader, a prince, who will rule amongst us and help us serve Hashem so that we are close to him. We won't be beholden to any foreign leaders, nor will we have to pay taxes to other nations. Verse 22, the promise that we wait for and that Hashem seeks, Visem li la'am, and you shall be for me my people. Everyone will believe in Hashem and follow what he says. Vanochi hayel alchem le'lokim, and I will be your God. Hashem will once again watch over us and ensure that we only have good. At the end of days, the Jewish people will have Hashem's kindness and protection. This will not be the case for those who fought Hashem. At the end of days, Hashem will judge everyone, both the righteous and the evil. Those who are evil will experience this day like verse 23, Hinei saras Hashem chema yatza sar miskorer. Behold, the storm of Hashem is gone forth in a fury, a sweeping storm. Al rosh rishaim yachul. It shall whirl upon the head of the wicked. Hashem will ensure that his anger will be executed against those who sinned. Verse 24, Ba'achris hayamim tisponenu ba. At the end of the days, we will realize how things have ended up for the good of the nation. We're going to think about it and recognize the good. Right now, as we suffer through Galus, we cannot understand how any of this is meant to be. At the end of days, we will have a clarity and understanding as to why history had to unfold as it has. We are promised another time that at that time, verse 25, Eyeh le'lokim l'chom mishpachos Yisrael. I will be the God for all the families of Israel. Whether they're coming from near or far, from Yehuda or Yisrael, Hashem will be the God of everyone. V'hema yu li la'am, and they shall be my people. In this parak, we learned about what will happen at the end of days, during and after the war of Gog and Magog. While in Galus, the Jewish people are physically and emotionally ill. All their friends have abandoned them, and they have no hope. The war of Gog and Magog threatens their existence. Hashem will save them and heal them. He will punish the nations of the world based on how they treated the Jewish people. The nation will return to Israel, live in peace, and will once again act as the nation of Hashem. Hashem will watch over them as he is their God. When we read this parak, it can serve as an inspiration as we survive one year after another in this galus. We can also remember the question Yirmiyahu asks. When we have problems, why do we cry for the problem and not for the sin which is causing the problem? This is a profound lesson that we can apply to many circumstances. We all encounter challenges in life. Crying is expected and acceptable. When we have joyous occasions, we are happy and we are expected to be happy. However, we can choose to elevate our emotions by using them to channel our feelings into prayer. When Chana was blessed with a son Shmuel, she returned to the Mishkan to thank Hashem for her gift. She then turned her overwhelming feelings of joy to Hashem and begged Hashem for Mashiach, which her son, Shmuel, helped to anoint David, who was the precursor to Mashiach. When we have an emotion, we can diffuse it to help us cope, and we can also use it to propel our tefillos to ask Hashem for our deepest needs. These prayers that are tied up with such powerful emotions are catapulted to before Hashem's throne. Another lesson that we can learn from the parak is how we can make our life contain elements of the Geula right now. The Pasuk says that after we return to Israel, we will have gratitude and joy. Those feelings are the cornerstone for a positive life. While life is full of challenges now, we can bring some of the Geula to our lives by incorporating a sense of gratitude into our daily practice. This gratitude elevates our existence to have the spirituality and connection that we pray for, that we hope to experience at the time of Mashiach. We need only focus on the gifts that we have, and with that gratitude, we are already free. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.